What's the level of your desperation? What's the level of your lostness this morning? Think about what we're singing, and we're talking about that we are desperate for Him. We are lost without Him. Is that just a song that we sing, or do you know that? That without Him you are desperate. Without Him you are lost. If you were hungry, how desperate would you be for food? How much would you eat of things that you don't like so that you're filled? Oh man, I'm preaching and I didn't even say welcome this morning. Goodness. But good morning, welcome. Glad that you're here today. There's times when we just have to realize that the words that we sing mean more than just words that are sung. They should be things that we are like feeling, things that we should believe, things that we just don't go through the motions for. And sometimes I'm guilty of it, maybe you are as well. Sometimes we just like to sing and make a joyful noise, and it just doesn't resonate. Not today. Not today. So glad that you're here with us today. Welcome to those of you that are joining us online. We're glad that you are here. People from all over the place, people that are just able to join in online, we're glad and we're happy that you are joining us. We got a few things that we just want to remind you about. First of all, every Sunday from about 9:30 till 5 to 10, we have a thing called Steeps and Sweets, and we are welcome to join us and enjoy a little snack, have some coffee or something of that nature, and get to know each other. If you don't like a little snack and you don't care for a beverage, that's fine. Come early and talk with people. That's what being a part of the body of Christ is all about. We have a variety of ways that you can connect with Living Hope through Facebook, through Instagram. Twitter needs to be stepped up a little bit, but it's there. And so if you are on those social platforms, you can feel free to connect with us in that way. And then also, if tithes and offerings can be done online, put in the box in the back or mailed here to the church. And we just want to express our gratitude to you as always. But thank you for the ways that you continue to give and how God continues to bless the ministry of Living Hope. We're just so grateful for you in that way. We sent out a message this last week and wanted to let you know that the memorial service for Barry Bell is happening this Wednesday, June 7th at 6:30. And we are going to have light refreshments afterwards, but we would invite you to come and be a part of this memorial service for our dear friend Barry Bell and just celebrate his life and celebrate the impact that he had on our lives. And so we invite you to come and be a part of that. For our teenagers today, we wanted to remind you that your information sheets for the local mission trip are due, and we would love to receive the rest of those in the very near future so that we can continue to move on for our mission trip that is happening in July. And I know that I haven't talked about this with the entire church. The thing is that we're doing a local mission trip. So the kids are going to be staying here at the church during that week. Yes, they are camping here at the church, and we're going to have a blast. It's going to be crazy, but we're excited about it. And we're going to be serving locally. And we've got places that we can go and bless and serve and do a variety of things. But we are also partnering with another church from Wisconsin. And so it's kind of exciting that we get to partner and work together. And hopefully, Lord willing, we're going to be able to do a variety of things and give our teenagers an opportunity to see our community in a different way and help in so many different ways. So it's kind of exciting. We are turning the corner to our summer children's ministry schedule. And so what that means is that we are giving a break to our leaders. And so kids, you're invited to stay here in the worship service with us for the rest of the summer. And folks, parents, if there is in need of an activity bag, they are located in the back. And we just make those available for you. So thank you for that. There is a sign-up sheet for those that are interested in catching a minor league baseball game with the Cedar Rapids Colonels. That's going to happen on June 16th, and there's a sign-up sheet. If you are interested, sign up in the kitchen, on the kitchen window. And if you have any questions, ask Tom Kinchlow, and he will be glad to answer any of those questions. Tom is here. I saw him, but I misplaced him. I don't know where he disappeared to. But anyways, so you can find him and ask him questions if you have any questions about that. It is gardening season, and we have a garden that's in the back area, and we are always just reminding you about that help is always needed. But if you are not a green thumb, but you want to help, we have some ways that you can do that. People to talk to would be Rich Bartholomew, Mark Carter, Tom Kinchlow, Lorraine McGuigan. There's a variety of people that are here to help. And those are just the ones that came to my brain. There are others that are helping out. But here's the deal, is that we have lots of stuff to do between now and the time that the harvest season is done. So if you can help, contact and be willing to jump in. Some other areas that we are going to need help in the near future is distribution of the harvest. That is exciting because we grew something and now we have to get it to where it goes. And we need people to coordinate that. And if that is you, you are a coordinator of people. That's what we need. And we need ideas on how to get it out to the proper places. So if that is you, I would love to chat with you and put you in to connect with the others that are going to be helping out with that. Does that sound like a plan, Stan? Perfect. Fantastic. Well, I have exhausted all the announcements for today. So with that, let's pray, ask God's blessing on our time together today, and then we'll jump into the message for today. God, we thank you. We thank you for just the who you are, and that we get to have this relationship with you. And you invite anyone into this relationship. But there needs to be a willingness to surrender to you and to follow you. And I pray, Lord, that we would have surrendered hearts today. That each day of our lives, we would surrender to you for your glory and for your kingdom purposes. Father, this morning as we prepare our hearts, as we've already done through song and through other means of just maybe preparation before we even arrive to church today, God, help us to hear what you are calling us to. Help us to understand the way in which we are uniquely made for the purpose of your kingdom to grow and to develop. And may we not hold back in our relationship with you, but give us courage where courage feels void. Give us strength when we are struggling. Give us perseverance to go for the distance of our lives. But God, we also pray that we would have hearts that are abandoned to you. And so we thank you for that, God. We thank you that you can change our hearts to pursue you, to grow and experience your grace, your mercy, and your truth. God, I thank you that we can sing songs that remind us that there's a desperateness to us, to our humanity. There is a lostness to our humanity. But when we have relationship with you, we recognize that we are found and that we are filled. And we thank you greatly for that. Lord, we know that during the week, we have a lot of things that come our way. We have things that are overwhelming to us. We have questions. We have decisions. We have so much that's happening throughout our week. And we ask, Father, that you would give us the wisdom that we need each day to live to glorify you. And we know that there are people that we are associated with, friends, loved ones, just people that we encounter that need to experience your grace. And I pray, Lord, that it would happen through us. We also pray for Bree and Roy Carter. Lord, they are folks that are associated with Living Hope a few years back, and the entire Wood family. Lord, they lost a child, a granddaughter, a niece, and the pain is very real for this family. And we lift them to you and just ask for your mercy upon them. Fill them with your presence. Lord, it is not easy to lose a child. But we know that your grace is sufficient, that your peace is comforting, and that you are the hope of the world. And so we pray that your hand of mercy would be upon them. Fill the darkness that they feel in their lives with your presence. Be very real to them, God. Thank you, Lord, for your word, your truth. And we just experience your grace today. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 30 times in the Bible, there are one another phrases. And I've gone through them, through multiples of them, throughout our time together in the last couple of weeks. And I just am excited about what God is doing in this series. And I realize that when we look at passages of Scripture that kind of have this feel to them, that kind of go throughout Scripture, there is something good about these reminders in how we live. So when we think about honoring one another, submitting to one another, loving one another, fellowshipping with one another, serving with one another, one of the realities is that we have to be reminded that we are looking at supporting, helping, guiding each other. That's part of the church. And one of the realities is that the church is not a building, but it is us. This is the building of the church, but it is not the church. The church is you and me. And when we look at this series, what we're doing is that we're looking at this series with our eyes on one another, meaning right here in this body. Sure, there's some applications that can be used outside and to our relationship with other people outside of the body of Christ, but let's think about it within the body. Let's be thinking about how we can benefit with one another, how we can bless one another, how we can encourage one another, and we can do that famous thing that we talked about 2 weeks ago, spur one another on. Now, let's also remember that that is not literal, okay? We don't wear spurs and we don't kick each other, okay? Don't do that. That's not going to be a good idea, okay? Not cool. So, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. These are the words that Paul writes to us there. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, for you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. Another way of saying that is bear with one another. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Interesting passage that we're going to be looking at today, one that really can challenge us. And today, as the first time in this sermon series where I'm kind of approaching it a little bit differently, we're going to actually walk through a few of these sections and talk about them a bit, which is different than the last few weeks, but that's okay. We can always mix it up and have a different perspective and a different way that we go throughout this sermon series. But want to remind you that the passage of the NIV says, carry each other's burden. I thought that we would include that entire passage in the NIV because that's what I typically preach out of instead of throwing out the New American Standard. I didn't want to confuse you guys because that one is the one that says bear with one another, and probably the King James does as well. But anyway, so let's work through this passage. I digress. We'll come back to the center. First thing that we're going to talk about is caught in sin. Okay, so we're thinking about this through the lens of us, the church, right? We're not looking at this as an outside the church scenario, right? Everybody's with me? Nod the head so that we're all on the same page. Because it would not be appropriate for us to be in this relationship where we are catching non-believers in sin. That should be just, that's just how it is, right? We're talking about how and in this interaction, each other, and if something were to happen where we catch someone in sin, what do we do with that based on the relationship that we should have with them? So caught in sin. It's kind of reminiscent of John chapter 8, okay? Isn't that what happened to the woman in the New Testament? She was caught in the very act of adultery, and what came along with that was some real heavy condemnation from the religious leaders. Do you remember that story? Do you have the vivid imagery of what was going on in that passage where Jesus is in the synagogue, in the temple, and these religious leaders throw this woman at his feet and are saying, hey, this woman, she's caught in the very act of adultery. What do you say we should do? Because Moses says that we should stone her. What do you say? And Jesus, he does what he does, right? He bends over and he starts writing in the sand. Oh, man. If we could take a Polaroid of what Jesus wrote that day, I wonder what we would see. But what happened to the dude? I mean, it takes two to tango, right? Where's the guy? Was he not being thrown in front of Jesus' feet? Okay. There's condemning eyes, isn't there, from the religious leaders. They are ready to destroy this woman's life. But Jesus writes in the sand, and when the time's right, he straightens up, and he says, anyone that is without sin, cast the first stone, right? Because according to the law, she should have had rocks thrown at her, because that's what Moses said. What Jesus is doing in this passage, right here in John chapter 8, Jesus is taking a huge risk. He is risking his reputation when it comes to the defense of this woman. He doesn't mince words in saying, if you are without sin, throw the first stone. Not mincing words whatsoever. And one by one, you can hear the rocks hitting the ground, not being thrown. And then when they are all gone, what does Jesus say to the woman? Go and sin no more. When we catch someone, that's a bad phrase. When we recognize that someone has sinned, when we experience it, may we have the grace of Jesus in that situation and not pick up a stone and throw it? Do you think that this would be a defining moment in this woman's life? You better believe it. That Jesus didn't condemn her. While all the other religious leaders were ready to toss a stone, and not just toss, but Greg Maddux, Nolan Ryan, come on, people, you guys know who these are, right? Okay. Randy Johnson with his big long left hand that 100 and some miles per hour chucking stones. This is a defining moment. And Jesus is loving a person when they least expect it. Maybe that's what we should do. That we should love a person when they least expect it and love them when they least deserve it. When we follow Jesus, there are going to be opportunities to love people that fail, and it's our job to not throw stones. It's our job to not throw stones. Yes, we call sin what it is. It's sin. But our job is to offer grace as Jesus did, not condemnation. Not condemnation. In Luke 5:31, Jesus answers the people when they're asking him, why are you sitting with sinners? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And he says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. We don't go to the doctor after we get better from a sickness. That's ridiculous, isn't it? But how often does the world say, I'll go to church when I get my acts together? That's not how that works. They need to experience the grace of Jesus before they get their acts together. More times than not, they're not going to. You see, Romans 5, 6, and 8 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us that in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were at our worst, when we were at our lowest, when we are the most despicable, God still died. God, through Jesus, died on the cross, and God was at his best. At his best. So when someone is caught, when we have an interaction and we experience the sin of another person, we offer grace, not stones. But something that is closely tied to all of this is another. So let's talk about what James says in 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, to each other, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. When you and me, we fail, we mess up, what we should do is we should confess to someone. And when we do that confession, we invite someone else into our struggles. We take our masks off, our complete masks, not just the ones that we experienced a few years ago and just covered this portion of our mouth, but the entire thing, kind of like Mission Impossible. You know, remember that movie from years ago where they would reveal the entire, come on, somebody, that's right, okay? We take the entire thing off and we invite someone into relationship and we show them that we are not faking our relationship. Because what do we often do in our lives? But we put our best polished, slightly unpolished shoe forward and we present our best. It's like Instagram for the Christian world. There's no sin, there's no scars, there's no brokenness. We present it all and we look like we've got it all put together. But when we mess up and we invite someone into that relationship and we say, you know what, I have sinned and I need to confess this to someone. You are a trusted friend and I believe that I can walk this relationship with Jesus with you. It invites another person to be in relationship with us. It invites another person in to walk with us. And really what it does, it invites someone in to hold us accountable. When we confess, we show that we are just as human as the next person. And we need someone else with us. We need someone else to bear with us. We're going to get into that in a little bit, but we're not quite there yet. Okay, so hold on to that thought. Galatians continues and he says, Paul says, restore gently. Couple of thoughts on this. If a trusted friend comes to you and says, I messed up in this area, and your response is, well, you know, good, dirty, rotten, and you just continue to like badmouth them right to their face. How do you think they're going to respond? If I was at coffee with you, I would probably take my coffee cup, go get a to-go cup, and leave. Because that's hurtful. That's probably not what I needed to hear right then. But if you loved me, spoke the truth to me in love, and said, you know what? You are human. Mess ups happen. But let's work together and let's get through this together. You got a friend for life. At the same point in time, if someone says, you know what? I don't care what you think. I'm going to continue doing what I want to do. You think that restoration takes place? Probably not. Because you can't make someone do something when they don't want help. Any more than you can teach someone who doesn't want to learn. And in these types of scenarios, we need to realize that it's not our problem to solve if a person is not ready to repent. But you have to be ready to walk with them. Ready to help carry the burden. But throwing stones isn't going to help. It injures. Romans 2:4 reminds us of the kindness of God. Catch this. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? The idea on that is that when we experience the kindness of God, the grace of God, the truth of God, we were more willing to receive what he had for us and repent of our sins because of his kindness. And we must do the same through relationship. When a person is caught, we restore them gently. Now, at the same point in time, if you have an understanding that you can speak harsh truth to a friend, sometimes you do have to speak harsh truth. You have to tell the person And I have done this a few different times in my life. I love you. I want what's best for you. But you need to hear what I have to say. It's time to grow up spiritually. Because maturity in our relationship with Jesus matters. I won't tell you who I told that, because that's between me and them. The next one is this, and this is where we get to our bear with one another. We bear with one another, and the idea behind this is the connotation of to cover, to think of the atonement. This is the covering of the blood of Jesus on the believers. The blood of Jesus covering us, making us white as snow. Think of a roof that covers your home. Or those of you that were here in 2020, think of the roof that was no longer here in the back section of the building. And what got in was water and debris and all that without the roof. Wow, it was mess big time. A roof is a protective covering, isn't it? Think of the statement that we often use of, I got your back, okay? Covers the blind spots, covers your protective backside. I need a volunteer. Jeremiah, would you come up here? Okay. So in old Roman days, or maybe even further back, whenever someone would be in battle and they're fighting by themselves or something along those lines, they would sometimes partner up and they would stand back to back. Okay. I picked you because you're kind of my height. Good job. Okay. Come back. No, we're still here. We're still here. Okay. We're back to back. So this is the type of scenario that they would have. They would have their backs literally back to back, and they would be able to see this direction and that direction, and this person's got the back. Okay. So that you can fight off anyone that would be coming in your direction. If he gets into a battle, I got his backside so that nothing can come at him. And that's the idea. So thank you for being awesome. Okay. You can go. You can have a seat. Okay. So yes. Say thank you to Jeremiah. It protects the blind spots. It protects us from being unable to see what is behind us. And you have someone that is covering your most vulnerable spots. Think of the Holy Spirit for just a moment, and how the Holy Spirit, some of the words that we use to describe the Holy Spirit is the paraclete, or the advocate, the counselor, the helper. This is who the Holy Spirit is in our lives. And he intercedes according to the will of God, but he's also the one that is covering our blind spot, helps, guides, and maneuvers so that we will have this voice of God that gives us this, gives us the understanding that we are walking away, or that we're walking towards something that we probably shouldn't do. And the Holy Spirit acts like that for us at times. Now, sometimes we are stubborn. Let's just be really honest. And we ignore the Holy Spirit. But the idea behind all of this is that we need the Holy Spirit to bear with us, but we also need each other as well. There's a great story in Exodus chapter 17 where Moses is standing outside the battle up on a hill. Joshua and all the men are fighting, and they are just in a huge, huge battle. And this is how I want you to think about the idea to bear with one another is in this way, where Moses, he's lifting up his hands, and when he has his hands lifted, the Israelites are winning. You remember that story? And as his hands are lifted, they're winning. And anytime, because he's in battle, they're in battle for a really long time. Anytime his hands begin to lay down, because after a while, your arms get kind of heavy. Nobody's with me on that one? Okay. And your arms get heavy. And then as his arms got lower and lower, guess who started winning? The other guys started winning and the Israelites started losing. So he'd pick his hands back up and he'd be, I got to keep them lifted high. And they'd start winning again. And then they'd start losing again. And sooner or later, Aaron and another guy came over and said, okay, Moses, dude, we got to get your hands lifted up in the air. So they started holding his hands and lifting them up in the air. So we need another demonstration. So Lucas and Colin, come on up. Okay. You guys are the guys. Okay. Who wants to be Moses? I want to be Moses. Okay. I'll be Moses. Okay. All right. So Colin on this side, Lucas on that side. Yeah. Okay. All right. So after a while, what eventually happens, Moses' arms are just so heavy, so they pull a rock. I don't know how they moved this big rock, but they did. They put a rock, and so he sat on it. We're not going to sit on it, okay, guys? We're just going to use your help, okay? So his hands are up in the air, and they become heavy, and the guys are like, get your hands up. So they actually grabbed his arms, maybe under here. I don't know wherever they grabbed it, and they kept his arms up when he had no strength anymore. This is the bearing that we're talking about with one another, is that we hold them up no matter how heavy our hands get. They were good. I started to push down and they kept him up. Way to go. What if I really just dropped him? Would you guys fix it? Okay. There we go. You were a little bit slower there, buddy. No more? Okay, all right. Thanks, guys. Thanks. But the thought in all of this is that to bear with one another is to bear the burden that Moses was carrying. Moses was carrying a burden of keeping his arms up in the air, but he couldn't do it anymore. He needed the help of somebody else, and Aaron came and helped. Do you have an Aaron in your life? Do you have an Aaron that can hold your arms up when you can't do it anymore? Do you have an Aaron that is willing to stand by you even in your most difficult times? Are you an Aaron to somebody else? That if they are going through a situation, maybe they have been caught by you, you have found that they have sinned or that they are going through something difficult or something along those lines. It doesn't have to be sin. That's not the only way in which we bear with one another. But do you have an Aaron? Are you an Aaron to someone so that you can lift them up when they need it? Henry Wadsworth Longfellow once said, if we could read the secret history of our enemies, we should find in each man's life sorrow and suffering enough to disarm all hostility. And what I get out of that passage, that word that he has written, is that when we know each other's lives, our life stories will disarm one another in the sense that we wouldn't bear any ill will towards them because we are human just like anybody else. And in order for us to bear each other's burdens, we have to have two things, and I'm going to close with these two thoughts. We need to have listening ears and helping hands. Not just listening, but hearing with our heart. An undivided attention. they need someone to listen to them. But let's be really honest. We are not always good listeners. And there's a reason for that. And one of the reasons is that we are too busy thinking about what we're going to say to actually listen. Can I be really blunt? Turn it off and turn it up. Don't think about what you're going to say. Just really listen. And when you catch yourself doing that, say, yapper, close it. Because your yapper is going to get you in trouble because you're not listening because you're ready to yap. Just being really blunt. Your yapper is not what needs to be doing. Your ears need to be open so that you can hear. The person just wants to be heard. We're too eager to talk, and we miss out on what is really being said. And let me be just very honest with you, is that I am guilty of this as well. I am too busy talking sometimes. I talk for a living, and it's trouble. But the next one is after you're done listening, then you help. Okay? You can respond, but get through the listening part first, and then encourage, and then lift up, and then hold them up, and then pray for them, and then check back in with them and see how they're doing. Don't leave them high and dry. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And there's a whole sermon within itself right in that one single passage, and I don't have time to unpack that, but get this in the sense that when we go to Jesus and we give him our burdens, he puts upon us a burden that is light. Hear it though, it's still something to carry. We do not walk away empty-handed. We have a responsibility. And we learn from him, and he is gentle, and he is humble, and we receive rest. And I believe that we can have that same effect on other people in relationship with them. We are not Jesus, but when someone comes to us, we don't burden them. We help them to rest. Jesus, and Peter says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. When it says he himself bore our sins, that is the same word that is being referenced in Galatians. It is the same. It's just in a different tense. He bore our burdens. He took them upon himself. He lifted them. He carried them. That's what he did in all of that. And he took your sins and mine and put them upon himself. So when we talk about what it means to bear with one another, we are to restore them gently. We are to help them with listening ears and helping hands. And this is the practical thing that we can do with one another, that we get to work out in relationship. We're going to continue on with this series for another couple of weeks because I'm finding that this is important for us. And we need to be able to do this with one another. And as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, these little things begin to be impactful in other people's lives. So there is this in church and outside of church type of thing. And that's a good thing for us. Okay. So let me pray. And then we'll have the worship team come and lead us. And we will close with singing today. Father God, thank you that we hear your word spoken to us today. Thank you for words such as these to help us and be reminded that we are to benefit, we are to help, we are to lift each other up in all that we do. That we know that there is burdens that people are holding on to. And we just want to be able to know that we can help. But it requires us to get to know people so that we might be able to bear their burden to walk with them. And God, one of the things that I'm so grateful for is that this church, this body of people, is not afraid to get dirty and help. We're willing. So give us the wisdom to know where we can step into another person's life and help. Give us the courage to maybe ask the question of, really, how are you doing? And maybe that question will allow us to turn on our listening ears and our helpful hands. God, you are good. No matter what, you are good all the time. And we know that you are the Lord of all creation. And you have created us for community, for relationship, for the body. Help us to do that well. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Let's stand and sing together.